Last week we looked at part one, the events concerning Christmas, on John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. Today, I want to take another event of Christmas from the Gospel of Luke. This is going to be the announcement of Christ to Mary. We're going to look at a couple of things here from Luke 1, 26 through 55. We're going to look at the announcement to Mary in your bulletins, and also the responses. Once again, I'll be reading from the Nelson, New King James Version Study Bible. We're going to be looking at God's Gift of Christmas from Pastor John MacArthur. I'm going to read some stuff about the events of Christmas. And also we're going to read the lyrics of Mary, Did You Know? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, we do want to thank you for this morning and the opportunity to once again go back in and open up your word and to look at the true story of Christmas, the events around that. And Father, I pray if you'll open up the ears and the hearts and the eyes of those that's listening. Bring them into truth by the power of your Holy Spirit, what Christmas is really about. And also, Father, I ask that you'll empower me by your Holy Spirit to preach your word. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Open up your Bibles, please, and we'll start in Luke 1, verse 26. Luke 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee in Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. It had happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed. For there will be a fulfillment of those sayings which were told her from the Lord. Verse 46. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and return to her house. The announcement to Mary. Verse 31 states of Luke 1. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. See, Luke's account of the announcement of Jesus to Mary tells a story of this from Mary's perspective. Over in Matthew chapter 1, the story focuses on Joseph. You see, the announcement in Luke parallels similar announcements of these types of things in the Old Testament. Is that you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. You see, Mary was blessed because she received God's grace, not because Mary bestowed it. And down in 34, Mary said, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Mary did not ask for a sign, so this remark does not reflect unbelief. She accepts her role without question, because over in verse 38 it says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. You see, Mary is a model for us of faith, even though she did not fully understand everything. She obediently said, let it be done, let your will be done. You see, the work of God in Mary introduces something unknown before or after, the birth into the human race of one who is both God and man. Because in verse 35 it says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. This is a direct declaration of Jesus' divine conception. The child's conception means he is uniquely set apart, the Holy One. A phrase which is here not so much as a title, but as a description of Jesus' sinless nature. Because nothing is impossible with God. You see, God keeps His promises regardless how difficult the circumstances may seem. You see, Gabriel's statement about God should be our statement of faith also. Verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible, Gabriel said. And Mary, the maidservant, for her faithful and obedient service, should be a character of every believer of Jesus Christ. It is an Old Testament prophecy. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. God's gift to Christmas. You see, the birth of hope. Christmas is a time of celebration and song, goodwill and good family, food and friends. But it's important to remember that the source of Christmas is the saving Christ. Humanity is lost. It's fallen. We know that. Separated from God. We were separated from God because of our sin. And our only hope of forgiveness was for someone completely innocent of any wrongdoing to take all the punishment for our crimes. Such a perfect life and a perfect love were impossible for any human to achieve. So God Himself did it for us. He sent His Son from eternity into morality, from glory into flesh, and from a throne to a manger. Ultimate hope was born in ultimate humility. Whenever you study the Gospels, you see God in every picture of Christ. You see, He talks like God. He acts like God. He thinks like God. Performs miracles that only God could do. He teaches truth only God would teach. And responds with love, goodness, wisdom, and omniscience that only God could possess. And it all begins with the birth of the divine child, Christ. You see, this is the immeasurable gift of Christmas. Christ, God's own Son, gave up His wealth and privilege to live as God with us, Emmanuel, that He might save His people from our sins, and that through His poverty, we might become rich. The miraculous gift of Christmas is God being born in a manger, so we can be born again in His glory. Christmas is not about the Savior's infancy. It is about His deity. The humble birth of Jesus Christ was never intended to be a facade to conceal the reality that God was being born into the world. No one can really fathom what it means for God to be born in a manger. How does one explain the Almighty stooping to become a tiny infant? It was the greatest condescension the world has ever known or will ever know. Our minds really cannot begin to understand what it was in God's becoming a man. We will never comprehend why He, who is infinitely rich, will become poor, assuming human nature, and enter into a world that will reject Him and eventually kill Him. No one can explain how God could become a baby. Yet, He did. Without forsaking His divine nature or diminishing His deity in any sense, He was born into our world as a tiny infant. He says, people often ask if I think He cried, or if He needed the normal care and feeding of a normal baby. Of course He did. He was fully human, with all the needs and emotions that are common to every human. Yet, He was also fully God, all wise and powerful. How can both be true? I don't know. But the Bible, God's Word, clearly teaches that it is so. In some sense, Jesus voluntarily suspended the full application of His divine attributes. He didn't give up being God, but He willingly set aside the independent use of privileges and the powers that were His as God. He chose to subjugate His will to the Father's will. Through all that, He remained fully God. For nearly 2,000 years, debate has been raging about who Jesus really is. You see, cults and skeptics have offered various explanations. They'll say He is one of many gods. A creative being, they say. A prophet, and so on. The common thread of all these such theories is that they make Jesus less than God. But let the Bible speak for itself. John 1, please. John 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The text says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1 starts with the moment of the creation and moves forward to the creation of humanity. John 1:1 starts with creation and contemplates eternity past. The fact that the Word was God suggests a face-to-face relationship. The Word, Jesus Christ Himself, is an active person in communication with the Father. Neither the person of Christ nor His sonship came into being at any point in time. Rather, the Father and the Son have always been in loving relationship with one another. And all things were made through Him. God the Father created the world through God the Son. All creation was made through Him. Thus, He is the Creator God. And He is the light of men. Jesus Christ is the light of all men. As the light, Jesus Christ reveals both sin and God to humans. Later in the Gospel of John, Christ declares Himself to be both the life and the light. Death and darkness flee when the light and light enter. The dead are raised and the blind receive their sight, both physically and spiritually. You see, Jesus Christ entered this world, this dark world, to give it its spiritual light. Verse 14 of John 1 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We just read in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Here's the Word, Jesus Christ, in verse 14. You see, the Son of God, who was from eternity, became human, with limitations in time and space. This is the doctrine of the Incarnation. God became human. Nothing of the essential nature of deities was lost in this event. And He dwelt among us. Dwelt comes from the Greek word for tent that was used in the Greek Old Testament for tabernacle. You see, that's where the presence of God dwelt, in a tabernacle. In the Old Testament, the glory refers to the divine presence. As God manifested His glory in the tabernacle, so Jesus displayed His divine presence before the apostles. And He's the only begotten means unique, one of a kind. He is the only Son who is fully God. He is also full of grace and truth. When God revealed Himself to Moses, He proclaimed Himself to be abounding in goodness and truth. As applied to Jesus Christ, this phrase marks Him as the author of perfect redemption and perfect revelation. You see, the biblical evidence is overwhelming that this child in the manger was the incarnation of God. You see, here in the book of John, it says Jesus in John 2, 24 and 25. "But Jesus did not commit Himself to them, because He knew all men, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for He knew what was in man." Jesus also did the works of God. John chapter 1, again, verse 48 through 50 says, "Nathanael said to Him, 'How do you know Me?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you.' Nathanael answered and said to Him, 'Rabbi, You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Because I saw you, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these.'" You see, Jesus was God incarnate. He was omniscient. To the woman at the well in John chapter 4, Jesus said to her in verse 16 through 30, says, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly, The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem, in the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. At this point, His disciples came, and they marveled that He talked with a woman. Yet no one said, What do you seek? Or, Why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to Him. He also said in John 14:11, Believe me that I am the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. You see, this babe born in the manger was God incarnate. This is an announcement to Mary. Behold, you will call His name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. He was God incarnate. He raised Lazarus from the dead in John 11:38-44. It says, Then Jesus, after groaning in Himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of Him who was dead, said to Him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for He has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. And I know that You always hear Me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that You sent Me. Now, when He had said these things, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Loose him and let him go. You see, back in Matthew 1:21-23, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Supernatural events happened in the life of Christ. He was God incarnate. Only God could perform Him things. This is the announcement to Mary. You see, God chose the name Jesus for His Son because its basic meaning defined the fundamental, overarching purpose for the Son's coming to the earth. Jesus, in the Greek form and the Hebrew Joshua, Yahshua, Yahshua, which means Jehovah or Yahweh, will save. You see, the baby Mary conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, gave birth to it, was the plan of God. He would grow up to testify to the Father's salvation and would Himself be that salvation. By His own sacrificial death on the cross and His triumphant resurrection from the grave, He would save His own. All those who are drawn from sin to repentance and who would receive faith to embrace His atoning work. You see, Matthew 1:21 again says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins." The name Emmanuel is the heart of the Christmas story. It is a Hebrew name that means literally God with us. It is a promise of incarnate deity, if you will, a promise that God Himself would appear as human infant. Emmanuel, God with us. This baby who was to be born, would be God Himself in human form. If we could condense all the truth of Christmas only into three words, these would be the words: God with us. You see, we tend to focus our attention at Christmas on the infancy of Christ. But the greater truth of this Christmas story should be about His deity. More astonishing than a baby in the manger is the truth that this promised baby is the omnipotent Creator of the heavens and the earth, God with us. Emmanuel, infinitely rich, became poor for us. He assumed our nature, entered into our sin, polluted world, took our guilt on Himself, although He was sinless Himself. He bore our griefs, our sorrows, was wounded for our transgressions, and bruised for our iniquities. All of that is wrapped up with God with us. You see, the Apostle Paul penned in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich." And 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." You see, that announcement to Mary that you will bear a son, right, and call His name Jesus. Look at all the many different attributes that meant, that impacted the world for God the Father. Let's go back now and look at number two of the events concerning Christmas. The announcement to Christ to Mary was one, and then the responses of that announcement. Luke chapter 1, again. Now let's go down to verse 39. I'm going to read 39 through 55 to you once again. Luke 1:39. "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb." We know that was John the Baptist, a forerunner. "And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of the things which were told her from the Lord.'" Now, let's go to verse 46, which is a hymn. Magnificat. For the Latin word magnifies. It says, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. You see, the babe leaped in the womb. Mary's coming brought a reaction from John in Elizabeth's womb. The Messiah's forerunner, John the Baptist, gave testimony to the Messiah even before he was born. The angel had predicted to Zacharias that his baby would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from the womb. And Elizabeth's reaction, why is this granted to me? In verse 43, that the mother of my Lord should come to me. Elizabeth marveled at the grace that allowed her a role in God's great plan in history. She knew God owed her nothing, as we should know ourselves. But she also knew that God had shown her great mercy, as we should know ourselves. And from this text of responses, I see favor, blessing, and salvation. You see, favor is an approving, a friendly or supportive attitude. It's a preference, or it's preferential treatment shown to somebody. That's favor. I also see blessing. Blessing is approval of good wishes, something to be glad or relieved about. It's blessed. It's holy, sacred, blissful, bringing comfort or joy, great happiness, a spiritual joy. And salvation, the saving of somebody or something from harm, destruction, difficulty, or failure. It's deliverance from sin through Jesus Christ. And the consequences of sin is that deliverance through Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. That's what I see from these verses. And in verse 26 through 28, it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. So right here we see favor with Mary and blessings on Mary. Luke 1:30. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Verse 41 through 45 of Luke 1. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told for her from the Lord. So right here we see blessing, favor with Mary, and child Jesus in the womb, and also Elizabeth. In verse 46 through 50, I see salvation. Salvation for Mary and for us. Because in this song, it says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. That's salvation for us. Mary, the responses, the announcement to Mary, And the response is, Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you have kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. You see, 1 Timothy 2:5 says, For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:13 and 14 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. 1 Corinthians 1:30 states, But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, in righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 12, it states, Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. In Ephesians 1, 7, In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Mary, did you know? Let's conclude this morning. Back to God's gift of Christmas. On that very first Christmas, Earth was oblivious to all that was happening as it is today. But heaven wasn't. You see, the holy angels were waiting in anticipation to break forth in praise and worship and adoration at the birth of the newborn child. This child's birth meant deliverance for mankind. You see, the angel told Joseph in Matthew 1:21 again, He will save His people from their sins. You see, Jesus knew that to do that, He would have to die. The important issue of Christmas is not so much that Jesus came, but why He came. There was no salvation in His birth, nor did the sinless way He lived, His life, have any redemptive force of its own. His example, flawless as it was, could not rescue us from our sins. Even His teachings, the greatest truth ever revealed, could not save us. There was a price to be paid for our sins. Someone had to die. And only Jesus, the sinless Son of God, could do that for me and you. You see, that's Christ as He fulfilled God's will. As it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 and 7. The text states, Therefore, when He came into the world, He said, Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Back in chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 9 through 18 says that we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for Him, for whom all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many things to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, here I am and the children whom God has given me. Verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, He does not give aid to angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself had suffered, being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted. He is our peace. Therefore, having been justified by faith, Romans 5, 1 and 2, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You see, the events concerning Christmas, the announcement of Christ to Mary, of this son that she would have. You see, He humbled Himself, this son, as Philippians 2, 5 through 11 states, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking a form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we close this morning on the events concerning Christmas, I want to close with God's little promises. It's Luke chapter 2, but I will start in verse 25. Luke 2, 25 through 32. Luke 2, 25 through 32. Luke 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Do you see this Christmas season? Salvation? You see Simeon identifies God's plan of salvation. Jesus Christ Himself. That's the true Christmas story. Let's close in prayer. Father, as we close this morning, once again, I want to thank You for Your Word that we can look into and know that You've given us the revelation of what the true meaning of Christmas is. That You sent Your Son, Your only begotten Son, to this sin-bent world for salvation. To die on the cross for our sins. I pray, Father, that You'll speak to those who are listening or going to listen to this sermon. To Your Word, Lord, that was read. That You'll bring them to the truth of what really Christmas is about. It's about Emmanuel, God with us. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.